Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. My name is Freddie Wong, and I'm your host.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm a screenwriter. Where's Matt, Freddie?
We started this train. This train is a rolling.
Where's Matt?
Matt is
Matt
not
on
here.
His way?
Matt is on his way.
So here's the deal, everyone. I have a hard out at 9 a.m. this morning because I have to call my therapist. So we're going to just start the episode, and yeah. Matt's going to come in super blind on this
one. In medias res, as they say in the biz.
So we're going to dive on in, and this is going to be a good one for Matt to have to stumble his way through because this week we are doing, from a user suggestion, the Charmin Bears movie.
Them butt bears. Them poopy bears.
The poop bears. We're going to do...
The prissy poop bears with the delicate buttholes.
Okay.
That's a good tongue twister. The prissy poop bears lived in the forest with delicate buttholes.
It's
my vocal warm-up. They're going to be like, Freddie, can you do a mic check real quick? I'm like, yeah. The prissy poop bears wiped their buttholes... with soft paper.
Hear that? Is that the man himself?
That's the man himself.
All right. Why don't
who
you
wants
go
a riff? Okay, yeah.
You go
riff.
Get him.
You riff
and
you, while you explain to our fine viewers here what this is all about.
Okay. Freddie's walking out the door. Finally, guys. Finally, it's just me and you, Will Campos, and the Story Break audience. I'm going to start by just saying hey to everybody. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. You know, we have a lot of fun here. I'm quickly realizing how hard it is to just keep talking by yourself when I don't have these two fucking goofballs to bounce off of and dunk on, et cetera, et cetera. They're coming back in now. Just between you and me, this has been really fun. This has been the Will Campos podcast.
You dropped your daughter?
Matt dropped his daughter.
Dropped her off. Okay.
You get on, and then I'll explain it.
I had an idea, but it looks like we're doing this.
You have an idea.
You have an idea?
Yeah.
All right. We'll say our ideas at the same time.
Okay.
Okay.
Right? 3, 2, 1.
Free
the
jazz.
Charmin
poop bears.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. That was recommended. I saw that one. That's
free
good.
Jazz?
Free jazz. That's just the nothing episode.
No, I was going to YouTube and then search experimental jazz, and we just pick a random piece of experimental jazz and then try to do an episode of that piece.
Oh, whoa. That sounds... maybe next time.
Sorry, I want to do a Facebook
Matt call. Arnold. I'm a dad. I was doing dad stuff to get there in time. This is the intro. I'm Matt Arnold.
I'd like to
sorry,
do it.
I'm late. All right. Poop bears.
The delicate bears with the delicate sensibilities and buttholes.
I want to read the actual quote.
Okay, yes.
Please.
So Levi Betts posted this. This was asking us to do this movie. And so this is the prompt from Levi.
Okay.
Here's one. The fucking butt wipe loving bear family from Charmin commercials. Why are they so excited to wipe their butts? So this is going to be...
This episode is going to be a toilet episode, everybody. This is going to be a toilet episode where we talk about bodily functions, which you should know that the three seated before you... are perhaps the most qualified to speak at length on, as that is essentially how we spend all of our days every day in front of a computer talking about poop and farts.
All right.
Butts.
Quick question. Who are the Charmin Bears?
Are you on the page? Did you just discover the very good thing that I did, which is that there are two Charmin families?
Sorry,
back the fuck up. There's two?
There's the Charmin Ultra Soft family.
Okay.
And there's the Charmin Ultra Strong family.
Which, like, is kind of a bummer because that episode's over. That's the whole movie.
Yeah, they just like Hatfields and McCoys.
Yes. And the picture is the Soft family are all adorable looking, and the dad is like rubbing his face against the toilet paper. Though the size of it looks more like
paper towel roll.
But you know, a bear's got a big butt. And then the Ultra Strong family, they're all like flexing.
Yeah, excuse me really quick, Charmin. Shouldn't bears have bigger paper towels, like paper towel size butthole rigs? Excuse me. Do you think the Charmin Corporation at some point has sat there and been like, gentlemen, how do we monetize the over-under debate? on the internet. How can Charmin introduce itself into the social media conversation?
This is the Charmin version of the "is a hot dog a sandwich" question. Is like, do bears use paper towels or toilet paper? I want to pause just for a second in case, you know, maybe for our international audience, they don't have the Charmin bear commercials. Yeah. For those who don't know,
yes.
Charmin is a company that makes toilet paper. Their mascot is a family of cute, cuddly bears.
Or
ultra strong bears. Kind of coyly playing off the phrase, does a bear shit in the woods? And so they hawk toilet paper.
I'd like to point something out that I learned on the Wikipedia just now, and I want us to both I want you, the audience, to join us as we sit here and contemplate the following sentence, please. In 1928, and this is from the Wikipedia article for Charmin, and I want you guys to just picture this in your head. In 1928, the logo mascot was a female silhouette supplemented by a baby in 1953, replacing the woman by 1956. What could that possibly be?
Wait, what?
I don't understand.
I just, like, in your head, like, what would the logo for a toilet paper company where
it's just like a silhouette of a woman wiping a baby's butt? It's like the baby's like, it's like changing a diaper, right? So it's like a baby and then like a woman, like probably with like a little piece of paper towel. You're like, I see, this is soft enough to use on a baby's butt.
Yeah. Except for 30 years, there was no baby.
Wait, what? I don't understand.
In 1928, the logo mascot was a female silhouette.
Yeah. Okay.
Supplemented by a baby in 1953.
Sure.
So what's the first 30 years of this woman doing?
It's a woman.
Just holding
a piece of toilet
paper?
Yeah,
they're selling to housewives. This is a housewife probably holding toilet paper. Wait, Freddie, I have a question. Are you saying that you can't possibly imagine an ad with a woman without a baby?
No. No,
I think we discovered, Freddie, you know that girls poop, right? Freddie over here baffled by the idea of an advertisement using a woman to sell a product.
No, that's not it.
Will, can you?
It's not the logo. The whole logo, Will.
But women don't have purchasing power.
No, it's weird. When I parked at Freddie's place, I was walking and I saw a woman walking. I was like, where's her baby? I was like, I can't imagine there's no baby here. No, I get it, Freddie. It's very weird.
It's weird.
It's a silhouette. No, it's that specifically, it's a silhouette. Like, what are, in my head, it's like, how is she posing to like cut a figure on this toilet paper that you're like, ah, yes, Charmin. That's what I think of.
Here's where my dad knowledge comes in. I'm more confused that they have a baby because you don't use toilet paper on babies.
I mean, maybe you
did. Yeah, dad.
Oh, yeah, before they upsold you on slightly wet toilet paper. They're like, fucking new parents will buy anything, just wetting up that toilet paper and charge 10 times as much. We're golden.
What kind of bad parent uses dry toilet paper on their baby's bottom?
Okay, I'm looking
at the logo now. It is like a Victorian like silhouette.
Can you guys please Google Mr. Whipple?
Mr. Whipple. What is Mr. Whipple?
He is like... He is like the Willy Wonka of the Charmin universe.
Holy shit.
So I'm wondering if there's a way to... If this will help us.
No, this will. There's a Mr. Whipple now. Oh, my God.
Okay, so I'm looking at... Just to describe, to paint a mental picture for our audience, we're looking at like a balding white man in like... He just looks like...
He's a fictional...
Looks like if Walt Disney produced porn. And he's giving a wry look and he's got a little mustache and some glasses and he's holding Charmin next to a sign that says, don't squeeze the Charmin.
Yeah, he used to scold customers who squeeze the Charmin, who hypocritically entertaining such actions himself when he thinks no one will notice.
He's like a kinky old man who's got like a squeezing toilet paper.
Yeah, he's like the old lady in Tom Popo who's squeezing the old fruit.
By the way, one of our favorite movies of all time. If you can find it, Tom Popo, one of the greatest movies ever.
Whipple is seen looking around the corner of the supermarket. Either he is at the checkout or stocking shelves at a female customer commenting that she is squeezing the tomatoes, then melons, and then in classic comic triple when she arrives at the Charmin. He cannot contain himself and approaches her, uttering his famous plea, please don't squeeze the Charmin.
This is such an erotic commercial.
1950s America was wild,
guys. It was wild. Hey, you know what's even wilder? 1967, the country song, Don't Squeeze My Charmin, was a minor hit for Charlie Walker.
Okay.
An actual country western song about squeezing this butt tissue was made the radio play. Like, literally, we're like, listen to the radio. You might be out by the old quarry making out with your girl, and a guy comes on wailing about not squeezing toilet paper, ruining the mood.
Right, I'm watching a commercial where now he appears to he's enlisted the aid of a cowboy to lasso the Charmin out of this woman's hands.
Maybe jump-starting the mood, though. Yeah.
There's a lot going on here.
Okay.
All right. 50s America was weird.
Okay. Mr. Whipple might be like that third heat we need.
Okay. Put him in that chamber. All right.
So meet the family. So, by the way, this Twitter thread on the Charmin Bears is suggesting that actually it is one.
Fucking hate my life.
Sorry.
Suggesting that it is one family that changes colors based off what they're advertising, because the Charmin, there is a diagram of their names.
Sorry, the Wikipedia for Charmin is like unintentionally one of the funniest Wikipedia pages ever. Let me just give you this 1-2 punch. Okay. In 2006, Charmin opened up a public restroom in New York City's Times Square. The location is now a Disney store.
It's not as funny as Freddie thinks it is.
It's really funny. Okay. I've gotten no sleep. I'm on no sleep, everybody.
Yeah, Freddie's been editing a ton.
Okay.
Okay. Charmin Bears.
What were you going to say, Matt?
So I was going to give you their names, but I'm trying to find a high-res image of this.
Trying to find them high-res JPEGs Charmin Bears. I need it for my desktop. I need it for my fanfic.
Because, it's because this picture has the name and it says, Molly, the mama bear, I have, and then it's too low-res for me to see, and I think that, like, one
this
sentence
is the fucking nader of this podcast.
No, this is
Matt
high.
Trying to read a blurry JPEG.
I'm closing my phone. Fuck this. We got gold. We got a strong family of bears and a soft, mushy family of bears. Okay. And the only thing that unites them is their use of toilet paper, which is
everybody poops.
Which, my understanding from, planet Earth, is that bears do not normally use toilet paper. So they are unique.
To David Attenborough, now we see the bear family using the butt tissue.
All right, I'm going to read the description of
poke at the dingleberries from their butt.
I'm gonna read the description of the Charmin Ultra Soft family, and then the description of the Charmin Ultra Strong
ultra
family.
Soft.
And then you at home can decide whether you're an Ultra Soft or an Ultra Strong family. I almost said an Ultra Hard family.
That's Mr.
Right.
Whipple.
That's
family.
The Japanese.
Then Mr. Whipple is Charmin Ultra Hard. Okay. All right, Charmin Ultra Soft family. Sometimes I like to treat myself and my family to life's little pleasures. Why not? We all deserve a little pampering. Take using the bathroom, for example. We all do it every day, so I like to add little touches to make it a little more enjoyable. Soft, fluffy towels, a little scented soap, and of course, cushiony soft toilet paper like Charmin Ultra Soft.
Who's saying that?
I think that's either...
Papa Bear.
Well, that's a little presumptuous, but okay.
Wouldn't it be more presumptuous if it was
shit.
Mama Bear?
That's right. It's the perfect trap, Matt. Will, who's saying that? Will, who's saying that?
I said it's Papa Bear because in the picture, Papa Bear is the one that's holding the toilet
paper
to his face.
Papa Bear's the one obsessed with it, but no, Will, who's saying it? An impossible answer.
It's the Kobayashi Maru of asswipe wokeness.
All right, keep going.
All right, here's the Charmin Ultra Strong family.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping a busy family on track and take a sense of humor. Keeping them clean. Well, that's another
story. That's such a dad sentence. That first sentence is the biggest dad's. Okay.
That's why I use products I can rely on. When my cubs use the bathroom, they need to get clean or I'll see it in the laundry later. I need a toilet paper that cleans better, and Charmin Ultra Strong does just that.
You know that they sat and thought about what is the POV of who's saying that, right?
Exactly. Because, yes, you're right. I think the dad is the blue bear dad, the ultra soft dad, is rubbing his face with the toilet paper. So he's definitely, but that could be, it could be like the mom buys the toilet paper and
no,
he likes
I think,
it
I think
the
they've
most.
Constructed a perfectly, no, you know what I'm saying? Even for the second one. Because it was both like, ooh, it's dad jokes that they're making fun of, but then we're talking, right, it's kind of like pulling from like the stereotypes.
This is the stereotypes in marketing. This is not our stereotype, but the fact that they say laundry implies that they're pointing, because definitely marketing will assume that women do the laundry.
And you know,
so
you
it's a
know
weird this. Like double sentence.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
So, no, here's exactly what it is. It's Charmin Ultra Soft is the dad, because the dad thinks that because like he bought some nice toilet paper that he does like probably about the same amount as a housework as the mom.
Yeah, I know.
It's like fucking taking care of this family is exhausting, and like the dad doesn't even know about the laundry.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got two families. I like we got a messy fan. We got messy butt family, the big strong family.
Both of them.
No, because the other one's concerned about soft and candles and whatnot. I feel like it's very clean. But then the secret would be they're snobs. They're like, no, your butt's just as messy as our butts. Just because you have soft candles and shit doesn't mean your shit stinks any less. But then the strong family is like, those fucking assholes over there think they're better than us.
I do want to say one thing, which is that
we need to A/B test both of these and see which one feels better and decide if we're a soft or a strong bear. Yeah, I was saying the exact same thing. I'm on Amazon Fresh right now pulling that in. That's the trailer.
That's the trailer. It's us trying the different toilet papers on our behinds.
Okay. I was going to say,
just ordering on Amazon right now. Go ahead, Will.
Looking at the detail of the pictures, this is very clearly the same family. Like, there's the dad, there's the daughter with the pink bow tie, and the mom with, like, the sort of blondish bow tie. There's the kid, there's the nerdy kid with glasses, and then, like, the sort of generic normal
Maybe
kid.
It's a little bit like Double Life of Ronique or Persona.
Imagining two bear butts, like, yeah, one cheek from each butt, like, sliding, like, the two faces.
You are but one butt.
I was gonna say maybe
Charmin Ultrasound's $5 more expensive.
What if it's like a sliding doors situation? We start with the parents at the grocery store. You remember the movie Sliding Doors, where it's like, does she make it on the train or not? And this two becomes like a parallel plot.
Oh, it's like a
so you do like,
universe
do thing. They buy the ultra soft or do they buy the ultra strong? And then it's a meditation on like, what's the right way to raise a family? Do you know what I mean?
It's a meditation of like, what defines us?
You do, okay, here's, oh, I got the opening of the movie, right?
Okay.
I got the opening of the movie. It's the mom and dad bear, and they're at the store trying to decide what toilet paper to buy, right? And then, like, she's got the ultra strong in the cart, and he comes back with the ultra soft, and they're both in the cart, and they're arguing at the checkout line over which one to buy. And then, who's that behind the checkout counter? Terrifying toilet paper pervert, Mr. Whipple. Mr. Whipple is the terrifying trickster god of this universe. And he's like, how about both? And then he's got like a magic scanner and then he zaps it. And then the story bifurcates into two separate realities.
What if, I like that though. I'm trying to think of what the movie's actually about outside of once they buy the toilet paper.
And how can you thematically relate it to the idea of wiping your butthole?
Wait, what if Mr. Whipple... What if we're like, okay, you know what was really popular is the movie It.
What if Mr. Whipple's like Pennywise?
What if Mr. Whipple's like the Pennywise? Like, and there's like the opening is more like the family going to buy toilet paper,
they
and
this
little baby bear
here.
Is like squeezing the toilet paper to test it. He's like, "Don't squeeze the Charmin." He's like, "Who said that? Who said that?" And then Mr. Whipple goes ahead and is hunting this family.
Okay, so
down.
Real quick,
don't squeeze.
You are touching upon a really good horror thing, which is the idea of like
a roll of toilet paper falls down the stairs and then goes into the sewer, and then the bear is like. You know what else floats down here?
We're all floaters down here.
But it hits a horror thing. It hits a horror thing because I remember when I was like a little kid, my cousins told me that like there's like rats and they'll climb out of the toilet and bite your butthole, you know? And I remember being like, you know, for a little bit when I was six, scared of that. All right, anyway, keep
yes,
going.
Yes, it's like a horror thing.
So then Freddy would be like, I want the strong Charmin.
I need strong Charmin to create a cage around the toilet paper and a small slit for my poop to slide through. Yeah, you guys do that? You guys didn't like mummify your toilet paper?
I did similar things in public restrooms when they don't have that.
Fucking dumping on Tutankhamun over here.
Okay.
What I was going to say is
like Mummy 3, am I right? Could you imagine the violation if you were a mummy?
Okay.
If you've been mummified.
How does this episode
I'm
feel like
begging you guys?
How does this
stop?
Episode feel like we're more high than the James Bond episode?
Because it's 7:30 in the goddamn morning. I have 2 hours
in the morning.
Of sleep. This is what happens when you record podcasts
all right.
this early.
Okay, shut up. Shut the fuck up for 3 seconds.
Okay, Will, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, it's like, you know, the theme is like, what's the right way to raise a family? Like, you know, like, are you going to be soft on your kids or are you going to be strong? You know what I mean? It's like a discipline.
No, I like that. So I'm trying to think of the, because you can make, I'm not saying this is it. We're not doing it. But I'm saying that can be this theme of it. Like, that can be the theme of many movies. So I'm trying to think of, like, what's the story? Like, what's happening? So what's the main?
So it would be like, you know, the end is like a synthesis. Do you know what I mean? It's like a, you have to have both, right? And like, that's like, you know,
is it like kids first day of school? Is it about the, is it about these bears trying to,
could you imagine,
civilize the other bears pooping? I'm trying to
figure out. I don't know if the technology is there, but could you imagine if Charmin used this as a way to introduce a toilet paper that is both? It's stripped down the middle, so on one side it's strong for when you need it and soft for when you need it. You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine a toilet paper with two settings?
Oh, you know what I mean?
Like a
and
dual,
you know what?
Setting toilet paper.
And it's, you change it. You know that people always have that argument about like which way the toilet paper is supposed to face on the roll?
Yeah.
Like which way it faces on the roll changes like the paper.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a good idea. We should call Charmin.
Some galaxy brain ideas. I borrowed that phrase from a friend of mine who was like, oh, you should start a podcast called Galaxy Brain.
Hey,
Galaxy
know,
Brain Freddy, with Freddie Wong.
You know whose galaxy brain idea that idea was? Fucking mine. I'm the friend in that story.
Were you?
Yeah.
Did you call it Galaxy Brain?
Yeah, I was the one. You should call it Freddie Wong's Galaxy Brain.
Shit.
Now we're going to call Will Campos' Freddie Wong's Galaxy Brain.
I'll make the logo for you.
That's Freddie Wong's galaxy.
Tweet us the logo for Will Campos.
Okay, what the fuck is this toilet paper movie about?
All right.
Sorry, okay, ignoring whether or not it splits, I get that. But either way, you're going to be following two stories that are reflections of the same story. But
I don't know what to tell you, Matt. It's a classic movie about a bunch of bears trying to decide what type of toilet paper to buy.
So, for example, there's that moment in Simpsons where Homer's lost his job, so they have to get rid of stuff. And Lisa's got to get rid of college, and Bart's got to get rid of extra soft toilet paper. But that story is about Homer trying to get his job back. So I'm just trying to think of like, what is our end to the
okay
story?
What if it's like they've just moved from the woods into the city?
Oh, like they're civilizing a little bit. Like, they're like, oh, you don't scratch on bark.
The mom got a new job at like at Charmin, right? And
kind of
the
Pat, but okay,
you know, we'll but stick with it. It's like the dad is like, you know, it's like, I don't know, like kind of like
so, like, he goes to the first, the neighbors invite the new bear family over.
And they just spray shit on the walls.
And then Papa Bear, they're eating dinner.
Pops a squat.
Everybody's kind of laughing because he doesn't know how to use the fork and stuff. And he's like, this is awkward. I'm going to go to the bathroom. And he just backs up and just shits on the floor and scrapes the shit all over the table. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, imagine that Daddy Bear is like a John Goodman type. Do you know what I mean? Who's like, you know, he's used to the forest where you rough it. You know, you maul a thing with your paw and eat honey. And then he's got to move to the city, and it's like everything's so dainty here. You used to just rub your butt on a tree. That was how you took care of things. And now you're like, what is this, toilet paper? Give me a break. You know, okay, and then so he goes on the Redneck Comedy Tour with Bill Ingvall, and he has like a whole bit about it. And you know, like he, you know,
okay, what if the Charmin family are already bears living in the city, and they're going out for the first time in a long time because the kids have never seen the woods?
Oh, go the other direction,
and then they're going to go meet their family who still lives in the woods, and it's a little bit of like, ooh, these snobby city folk are coming back to what, I don't know. They like, it's like, we don't use toilet paper in the woods, buddy.
Or it's
shit on trees, which I don't know if bears shit on trees.
Or it's they use the ultra strong out in the woods because you got to be strong to survive in the woods, and then it's like a family camping adventure or something. I don't know.
Are they in? Okay, this is.
I will say in the commercials they're usually in the woods.
Yeah, they're in the woods. It's the hilarious like juxtaposition of toilet paper in a rustic woodsy setting, which you don't expect.
Okay, we forgot our basics because we were all so
excited
and excited. Okay, we always have to ask this question when we do this. I know it's an annoying question, but kind of like Joe Camel and all these other stuff. Do they know Charmin? Is this a world where they are the Charmin Bears, where they are actually like, there's the brand Charmin and they are the mascots? Mm-hmm. Or is this just a family that uses toilet paper and we just call their last name is Charmin? They're not sort of branding.
Was the mascot inspired by the product, or is the product inspired by the mascot?
Is this just a story about bears that are named Charmin? And again, it's like, oh, it's cute.
I just had an idea, then I realized it's just the Hungry Hungry Hippos movie, where I was like, what if like a bunch of toilet paper fell into the woods and then they evolved using toilet paper, but then they ran out, so they had to go to the city to get more toilet paper? And I'm like, oh, this is just Hungry Hungry Hippos. We already did it.
That's not bad.
by the way, though, and say, yeah, I mean, I see the journey there, you know?
Where do they make toilet paper? Like, did they, I can just see a scene of, like, the mom knitting.
Or it's a beautiful family of bears that lives in the woods, and they love toilet paper, and then the other bears make fun of them, but they're like, no, we love toilet paper, it's just great, we like to wipe our butts with it, it feels good. And then how do they get toilet paper? Well, they walk out of the city and they go to a grocery store and they buy a toilet paper, and then there's a fucking psychopath named Mr. Whipple one day who's like, who are these bears taking toilet paper?
Oh.
And why I squeeze them? And then he's like, I'm gonna kill these bears. And he goes into the woods.
That sets up your classic cartoon dichotomy, you know, of like innocent cartoon bear family and human psychopath who wants to murder that family at all costs.
Them
a lot
bears.
Of cartoons fundamentally kind
first
of
they're just using
that.
Toilet paper, what's next? And then it's a little bit like an immigrant refugee story, like it's like he's a racist and he like doesn't want these people, and he's like, if you're gonna use toilet paper, next thing you know they're gonna be using our buses and all stuff. You're like,
and our women
and our women. You're like, man, Mr. Whipple's a monster.
Mr. Whipple's racist as fuck, dude.
And then he's trying to kill the bears, and then it's like a home invasion movie, but the home's the woods,
and
the bears
invasion is pooping.
I know you think we're doing, I'm trying.
I know, no, you're doing it. I'm seeing shapes, man. I'm seeing shapes.
You're doing a yeoman's work, Matt.
Just a good,
yes,
honest day's work at the story of mine.
I'm just trying to think of anything.
Digging for
that,
gold.
I'm just trying to think of anything to hang this on.
The okay, toilet even, paper roll.
Freddie, I'm begging you.
Okay.
All right. You have family, right? Like most stories are about, okay, what if it's Hamlet?
Really, really quick, Will.
What if it's Hamlet and the ultra strong dad kills his brother, the ultra soft dad? And now, like, the ultra soft dad is like telling his children to avenge his death.
I'm very excited about the idea of a chamber drama about the two Charmin families.
Yeah.
Sure.
I feel like I want to focus on these two families.
Yes.
Right?
Let's keep it two families.
Let's keep it two families. And here would be my thing. Here
it's like the buttered battle.
I think they're bears that use toilet paper, right?
Yeah, and don't we don't have to spend all this time discussing the origins and all that stuff and all.
I don't think this is going to be like, and then they invent the Charmin company.
No.
I think it's just that there are two families of bears and they don't see eye to eye because one family believes in ultra soft and the other family believes
it's
in
the
ultra
butter
strong.
Battle. It's one of my favorite stories.
What is the fucking
guys
butter
need,
battle?
Okay, after today, you guys need to read the fucking Butter Battle by Dr. Seuss. It's a classic. The Butter Battle is about two civilizations that are separated by a wall, and one butters their toast butter side up, and the other one butters their toast butter side down. That's the only difference between them, and they hate each other, and literally the story is just an arms race, and it
ends
with... How do
you butter something butter side down?
They hold the toast, and then they butter it like this. And
do people still, do that?
No, but the idea is that that's the only difference, and by the end, literally this Dr. Seuss story ends with the two people on a wall holding nuclear weapons that if they drop, they both blow up. And the idea is that something so minor can separate, you know, people who are essentially the same deep down.
Okay, here's what I would say.
This is a good story.
Yeah.
I think you've explained it to me about 12 times, and I've forgotten it every single time. Okay, what if you do this? Like, you ever do, like, when you're a kid and you go to a sleepover at another family and they do things a little different?
Oh, and it's and fucking like, weird. And it's like,
weird.
Occasionally they get the one thing where you're like, what?
Yeah, or like you do, like, again, like you go over and your friend's snacks are like snacks you've never had before.
Oh, God,
right?
Yeah.
So imagine that it's like you're the ultra strong family, right? And you're like, we're ultra strong. I love that.
What if?
No, except I was going to go somewhere. So you do. Imagine that, like, you have these two families, and then the kid goes for a sleepover to the other family, and then he experiences their toilet paper, right? And it's like,
he loves it.
He loves it. It's like, whoa, you guys have ultra soft toilet paper?
You guys have Super Nintendo? Guys, I got it. It's not Hamlet. It's Romeo and Juliet. The boy from the ultra strong family is in the woods near the border. They're not supposed to be on the border. And he's got a poop and he reaches into his pocket or whatever.
He reaches into his tactical go pouch.
I don't have any toilet paper. He's already pooped on the tree. He's like back to the tree, pooped. He's like, where's my toilet paper? Oh no, I'm out of toilet paper. Hey, where's my bros? And then he hears from the other side of the tree, here, I got you. And a hand reaches around and he grabs it. He's like, well, this toilet paper feels different. He's like, wait, are you one of the softies? He's like, hey, you can use my toilet paper or keep shit on your butt. He's like, and he uses it. He's like, hey, this is pretty good. What's your name? And she's like, Juliet Bear. He's like, yeah, my name's Romeo Bear. And then a romance starts between the two bears of the soft and hard, soft and strong family.
I love that, Matt, because I just remember fondly that scene in Romeo and Juliet where Juliet
they're speaking
goes,
through the hole in the wall. Yeah, that's my version goes, speaking through the hole in the wall.
And she goes, verily, one can keep poop on thy butthole. Use thy paper if you will, sir.
Okay. I think it's Romeo and Juliet, but Juliet is soft toilet paper.
So what's the part where they like kind of like
what's
fall
the part
in
where
love
they...
and they kill each other, but they don't kill each other? Well, one comes back to life.
All right, all right, all right.
Well, they're gonna fight each other. They're like,
so we're saying you're saying that the two families hate each other.
Yeah, if you're gonna do. I mean, otherwise there's no conflict. Otherwise, it's two families that like different types of toilet paper that hang out. That's not much of a movie.
I was gonna be like, do you do like the like? I was trying to get more for like that kind of like modern like suburbs kind of conflict, right? Where it's like you know, like you get along on the surface with the other family, but then
oh, but
you know, you want to raise your kid your way, and then your kid comes home, he's like, I want to buy soft toilet paper, and it's like, what is this liberal propaganda you've been exposed to at that house?
Okay,
I don't know. And then it would be like a struggle between like the parents not accepting their kid for being someone who likes soft toilet paper, being like, but we raised you to be strong, and he's like, I am strong, but I like soft stuff sometimes on my butt. Oh man, this is a tough one.
I don't like that, Will.
All right, let's go with Matt's thing.
The reason why, let me just say, just
the last few episodes, Frey just lays back more and more. Now he's just so
I'm just like a petulant story baby. I'm a petulant story baby because I found sometimes maybe that's the best way to get things done. Well, no, see, here's the thing. It's like, what you described, I see it. I see the conclusion. It's about acceptance. It's about, right? Like,
yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's more,
it's toilet paper's a parable for, accept your kids and different ideologies and
I can see it.
Tolerance. I'm just like,
I can see. I just don't know what the movie is. Because, again, like you can do something very small family, like National Lampoon's Christmas Family Vacation. You just need, like, what's the Christmas? He's lost his bonus. Like, that's the conflict. And then, yes, it's like two families
Papa
that ultimately
Bear.
Love each other but have some differences. I'm just trying to think of like,
Papa
what
Bear
the
wakes up one morning and cannot stop pooping. The entire forest has to mobilize industry. It's a parable for endless warfare. Right, Papa Bear is the military-industrial complex, and the entire forest society is geared towards the production of toilet paper to satisfy his hungry butt. And no matter what they do, there's just more poop and more appropriations and more poop, and it just keeps on coming.
Okay. No, look,
and
okay,
the squirrels have to team up. Like, I just want to see I want more woodland creatures.
I'm down with war. That's why, you know, Romeo and Juliet and West Side Story both have, you know, they got that cool fight. So just bear with me.
Cool fight.
You would do with the knives and stuff. You would do West Side Story. You would do.
Thanks for clarifying, Matt.
Just bear with me. You would do.
Bear with you.
Okay. Because, like, you would do Romeo Bear comes back, and they're, like, at the dinner table talking about toilet paper like the Charmin family normally does. And he's like, hey, Dad, you know how sometimes, like, I get it. We poo really hard, so, like, we need that strong toilet paper. You know how sometimes you just have that, like, nice relaxing poop, and it's just, like, a little bit of poop, and, like, that toilet paper is a little rough, and your butt's a little itchy, and then you're just kind of too embarrassed to talk about it. He's like, what are you talking about, son? My butt never gets itchy. He's like, it does. Like, which sometimes, like, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes we have a soft toilet paper, and then you cut to Juliet family, and she's like, hey, you know, I really like our soft toilet paper.
My butt is never clean.
My butt's never clean enough. But have you noticed how our butts never clean enough? Like, you know, sometimes we have, and you know, I wish, like,
we gotta use. She's like, we gotta use a lot of toilet paper to clean our butts sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And also, the problem is like that when it's soft, it's thicker, so it seems like there's a lot more on the roll, but there's actually not.
And I'm tired of not having coffee or milk. Because we don't have strong toilet paper. And then her family's like, are you suggesting?
What happens at the end should not influence what happens at the beginning.
I want to experience life, Dad. I want to eat Chipotle.
I want to eat Chipotle.
All right. So then what? So then the parents are like,
where did you hear this poison? And then what happens in Romeo and Juliet? And then they're sneaking out, and they're like, where did you hear this? And it's like, oh, I heard it from...
Family lives across the woods.
Yeah, I heard it from...
Maybe the
soft... I was trying to make a pun of Capulet, but with soft. And
Crapulets.
Crapulets.
And the Montapoos.
Holy shit. Okay, so the Crapulets and the Montapoos.
So they live on opposite sides of the forest.
Yes.
And...
Oh, and this is how you fucking one up. Not saying we can one up Shakespeare, but we can do it. You fucking... Romeo and Juliet is the first three acts. Acts 4 and 5 are... Who show up? Fucking Mr. Whipple. And the two families have an existential crisis.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet...
Where they have to come together.
They both die, and then Mr. Whipple uses his dark magic to bring them back to life. And he's like, you serve me now! I am the vengeful toilet paper god.
Okay, the Crapulets and the Montapoos.
Okay, so the Crapulet boy...
Crapulet is definitely the hard boy, right?
The strong boy.
Strong boy. The Carbulots are strong toilet paper, and the Montepoos are the soft toilet
paper. Subvert gender normacy once again and have the girl bear be the strong one, I guess.
Yeah, so she's part of the Crapulets.
She's part of the Crapulets.
And then you got Romeo Montepoo.
But then it's like, oh, you can, it gets another Kobayashi Maru. Because there's like, she's strong, but then she has to learn to be soft. All right, fuck it, whatever.
But no, they don't have to. This is not about the
personality.
This is so
coded. I love it.
This is just about their poop.
Can something just not be problematic for once? Can't just be about bears pooping in the woods? Can we just for once just get rid of this PC bullshit and just for once talk about what we really want to talk about?
Bear Shapiro over here, pretty Wong.
Nice.
All right. Fucking, we gotta figure this thing out.
We're 35 minutes into this all fucking right. Solo.
We're three.
I had the exact opposite reaction of Will. I'm like, shit, we still have 30 minutes of Pooh Bears to talk about. And Will's like, oh my God, we only have 30 minutes left.
Okay.
Does Pooh Bear make a cameo?
Oh, like what? Like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh comes from the woods.
I fucking hate you.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh.
So much.
Winnie the Pooh's the poison salesman.
I quit this podcast effective immediately.
Hey, I'm saying, are you. Romeo Pouliot is a.
We're not bringing Winnie the Pooh in.
Okay, we don't need to bring Winnie the Pooh in. Okay, so you got.
That's your post-credits scene.
Okay.
I want to tell you about the Pooh initiative.
Okay. Will's going to lose his mind, Freddy. Let's focus.
All right, okay.
Okay.
So, all right, yeah, all right, yeah. So you have the family. All right, so Act One is there. You know, the two bears are in the woods, and then they swap toilet paper.
You could do that. They split. Okay, so what's the problem with the families? Right, you would do that. There's a wood that they share, and maybe these families used to work together. Like again, it used to be a more utopian forest, and then there was a split when they discovered. And again, it could also be a little bit of an allegory of like the danger of technology and society or whatnot. In that the thing that split them was they discovered toilet paper, and at first. It was wonderful because all the bears started using toilet paper and it helped.
Oh, I got it. This is your opening. Yeah. Is the ancient bears used to live as one tribe until they discovered that one bear family liked wiping their butts with rocks and the other one liked using leaves.
Yeah. Oh,
and so then, and there the twain shall meet, right? So then they split ways after an awful bear war. They split and then they both separately over the generations have evolved bear butt wipe technology. And that's how you got the ultra strong toilet paper and the ultra soft toilet paper. Yeah. But they haven't spoken to each other for generations.
Yes. To give it a little flavor, you would do like the rock crappers would be like, I'm tired of sitting on rocks and finding your crap on it. He's like, yeah, well, I'm tired of stomping through the forest and stepping on your poop leaves. It's like, you foot poopers. It's like, you rock poopers. So again, it's just like, they have a problem. It's like, I'm tired of stepping on your poop. I'm tired of sitting on your poop. And they started, and they're like, better to poop on rocks because you can see the poop. It's like, yeah, but we sit on rocks. We poop on.
Yeah, and they're like,
ideological difference.
We eat berries.
We eat
Hello.
Berries. Yes.
They're going to shit where you eat. What's your problem?
Yeah, but it hurts to poop on a rock. Yeah, well, man up and poop on a rock. It's like, yeah, but it's better to poop in leaves. And then they split over time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So great. That's like grandparent bears like had this feud. And so then they haven't, you know, the kids meet each other. Right. And then
a romantic moment where they're both pooping on the opposite side of a tree right out the border. And they meet each other because one of them ran out of toilet paper and the other one hands the other one toilet paper. And they're like, hey, your toilet paper is pretty good. And he's like, my toilet paper is pretty good, too. Maybe you can come over sometime and try my toilet paper.
Let me give you some of my toilet paper as a gift.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like he came back home and took some of the hard toilet paper and gave it to her as a gift.
Quick question on Romeo and Juliet. Do they know early on? Like, I'm hazy on.
He's at like the
oh, that's right, at
Montague,
the ball to like stir up some shit.
Yes, he knows she's on the other side of the other family.
I see. Okay.
She's horde, he's alliance. Yeah. You know, that's how it goes.
And he's like, my God, my butt's never felt more, you know, less itchy. And she's like, she's like, my God, my butt's clean for the first time. It's a little itchy, but it's clean for the first time.
This is, you know what? This whole thing is a subtle way for Charmin to convince people they need both.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? They're like, the problem is people are only buying one. We need people to buy both.
Yes. You need the double rig, the left and right.
It's a tactical. It's like John Wick. Do you know what I mean? He knows how to fucking do jujitsu. He knows how to use guns.
Start with that strong paper and then to get a little
John Wick has pinned his own butt to the ground and then he's fumbling to open up and reload the toilet paper while his butt is trying to get away and then he wipes his own butt at the end.
John Wipe
the wiper. This part, all right, so we're getting there.
Yeah,
all right, so now you've had the two family. All right, okay, so the families find out about each other.
Yes, right?
Or they find out like what the fuck, they've got toilet paper now too. Like, what are they afraid of happening, right? Like, are they like, I forbid you to see that boy, I forbid you to see that girl.
Yes.
Right? And then the boy and girl are like, but like,
but
my butt
but
needs.
But my butt needs the other, what the other butt has.
Yes. So then the boy goes to sneak out into the woods to find the girl again. And she sneaks out to find him. And they start a toilet paper exchange.
Yes.
Right?
It's like, is that what kids call it nowadays? Are they doing toilet paper exchange, or are they?
I actually don't think it's like a straight up romance. Because I think this is about the toilet paper.
It's about the butt.
If I'm a Charmin executive, I'm going to be like, can we make it more about the toilet paper?
Okay. So Juliet with no romance, just toilet paper exchange.
No, there is romance. The romance of wiping.
Okay.
Which these bears are in love with.
So these two bears meet out in the woods and keep pooping on the border of these two.
No, they don't poop on the... Well, I was saying, like, they started stealing toilet paper from their houses to...
Exchange?
Exchange. You know, it's like Dallas Buyers Club or something.
Okay, so dad, strong dad comes into his daughter's room and is like, oh, she left her toilet paper out. I should probably refill her roll for her because I'm such a good dad. And he picks up the toilet paper. He's like, wait, this feels a little bit different. It's like, wait a second. This isn't strong toilet paper. She's like, Dad, no, you don't understand. It's like, where did you get this? And she's like, nobody's like, did you get this from the Crapulets? And then,
and then the movie stalls out 10 minutes in.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, if it wasn't, I mean, it's like romance, again, why they must see each other. The way it stalls out is like, they're told you can no longer meet each other. They refuse and they start.
All right.
And the families start going to war.
Yes. Okay. So act one is that builds up to them meeting, right? We see the ancient feud. We see our strong boy out in the woods. We'll figure out like what his character thing is, but then yes, he's got to poop and he forgot he's not like the rest of his family where they're all strong and prepared and et cetera, et cetera. And he like, you know, he's the guy who forgets his toilet paper and stuff like that. Cause he's an artist. He's a dreamer.
And
so then I forgot my toilet paper again. And then he meets the girl and she's got the toilet paper and he's like, this toilet paper is the best. It's so much better than our toilet paper. Right.
So
now she's thinking like he's challenging the order of his family for the first time, you know. It's like, you know, starting to think differently about the world. Yeah. And then vice versa for the girl, because then he shows her their toilet paper and she's like, I'm sick of my indulgent artsy fartsy family who never does anything. Like, this toilet paper can change us for the better, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sick of our stinky butts. This is your act one, right? As they meet, they, you know, like the inciting incident is they both get a taste of that new TP. Your second act is the family's finding out about it, forbidding them to see each other, but then each of them, their heart has been awoken to something new in the world, right? And so they're going to meet each other.
Well, they have to have a plan, right? What's their plan to run off, right? In the same way Romeo and Juliet, they're going to get married to defy their parents. What is their plan to defy
I think it starts as, hear me out, I think it starts as we're going to do an illicit toilet paper exchange, right? And so we got to figure out like how that happens. You know, maybe like the boy bear is like, you know, like he's like, I'll be a spy for our army and I'll go spy on them or whatever, right? So you would do your third act is essentially this illicit romance blooming as they are trading toilet paper. And then you would do they get found out. And then maybe your act four is like, we have to run away together. Like, if you're going to take a page out of Romeo and Juliet's
book. Well, so Romeo and Juliet's book, let me just, because I have it pulled up here in terms of just a very broad strokes of what the five acts of Romeo and Juliet are. Act one's a prologue. Here's the lovers, star-crossed lovers. Act two, they fall in love and they're like, okay, we're going to get married in secret. Act three, Capulet party. There's a whole thing. Romeo kills a dude. It escalates the sort of tension between the two families, and he's banished.
Mm-hmm.
Four, she's going to marry Count Paris, and then they're going to escape the wedding to do this special thing and do the weird death drug. And then five is oh, dang. They killed
We blew it.
We blew it, yeah.
Okay, if you're not going to make it about romance, you'd have to do that, then it's going to be about specifically toilet paper. So you could do a few things I'm thinking in terms of what a conflict could be. It could be that the toilet paper company who sells the bears toilet paper is winding down. They're only going to start making one brand of toilet paper. So the two they're doing like a survey of what brand to do. So this is like, it's the families in a fight. You could do that.
They're trying to rally different people from the different woodland creatures to their cause.
Yeah, so you could do Romeo and Juliet are trying to develop a dual use toilet paper to blend the two families or whatever. I'm just trying to think of things you could play.
I do like that they invented their toilet paper out of, you know, like generations of rock and leaf stuff.
But they still need to get it manufactured. Like, right, like if I develop a board game, I go to China and I get
the supply chain of this. Okay, I mean, if you were going to do that, it would be like, okay, yes, you would do it. So there's a war brewing, right? Mm-hmm. And you would do that. It is like, where do they get their paper for their toilet paper, right? And it's the beavers chopping down the trees,
yeah.
right? And so the beavers are like the middlemen who've been playing both sides, right? They've been like, because the beavers like, yeah, we chopped down some trees for you, we chopped down some trees for them, and both of them are like, we must cut off the enemy, right? Like only our toilet paper, you know? It's like,
yes.
Or you do, there's a forest fire or something like that, and so the beavers only have enough. They like, there's some sort of brewing war over resources.
The river is the border between these two families.
Okay.
So the beavers are literally on the border. Their work goes to both sides. And you could do one of the families has been slowly so they're going to literally like divert the river to be on their side of, so the beavers are forced on their territory. So they'll
they're gonna flood the other side to death.
Yeah. Both sides don't have quite enough toilet paper. Especially the soft side, who needs to use a lot. Now, the soft side would be the one who's doing it because they're always running out of toilet paper. They're like, we need the supply. We can't. I'm tired of these beavers giving 50-50.
Well, you would. Oh, I like that. I like that. And you would do that. That's why he's out at the. That's why he doesn't have any toilet paper at the beginning, because he's like out in the woods.
Yes.
Right. And he's like, oh man, like times have been tough. Like he's on a mission to go talk to the beavers about what's going on. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
The opening is he's been sent to go talk to the beavers about what's going on because they've been running out of toilet paper.
Yes.
Right. And because he's an artsy fartsy Dumbo, like he follows like a beautiful butterfly who's secretly Mr. Whipple in disguise, our horny toilet paper pervert.
Horny trickster god.
TP pervert.
Mr.
Whipple.
No, Mr. Whipple will be the name of the beaver. It's just like a fun allusion to the other lore of...
The movie starts with Mr. Whipple giving the offering to the muse at the beginning of like a Shakespeare... and like doing like the little speech.
Yeah,
right?
Mr. Whipple's like, audience, this is the play you're about to see. Pay attention.
We, your humble players,
tell the story of two bear families.
God, I just, I cringe because I imagine doing a really shitty community production and he's like in the wings and he pops his head out and he's like, and remember, don't squeeze the charmin. And then black. And then he's like, God, get me out of this community theater bullshit.
Okay. So yes, you do. He's on his way to talk. He's an emissary on his way to talk to the beavers, but he gets lost because he's artsy fartsy. He sits down to write his screenplay. And then he's like, oh man, I don't have any TP. And then that's when he runs into the girl, right?
Yes.
And she's, you know, unlike her family because she's prepared and she's, you know, tactical. And of course, she's got extra toilet paper, but she was there for the same reason, right?
Yeah.
To go talk to the beavers, right? And so they found each other and they come back and they blah, blah, blah. So yes, you do. Both families realize this is what's happening. Like, this is why we've been running low on TP, because the beavers have been supplying both people, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, we need enough toilet paper for our family. It's those lousy fucking, those rock wipers.
Yeah.
And then there's like, it's those lousy leaf wipers,
yes.
Right? Okay, so that kind of spurs your conflict, right? Like, I like that.
Ooh, is this going to be about at the end, the beavers are like, guys, the reason we're running out is because you guys are deforesting the land. Like, you should go back to pooping on rocks and leaves because capitalism, man. We got to save the environment.
It's actually about late-stage capitalism.
Well, late-stage capitalism and the fact that we're so focused on our day-to-day and the feelings of our butts that we forgot about the feelings of the earth, man. While you were busy pooping...
I studied the
blade. One thing both sides can agree on is nobody wants to use recycled toilet paper. Like, recycled paper is not real paper. They pretend it's real, but you can tell the difference. Fuck recycled toilet paper.
Have, like, the
and the beavers are like, if we could just recycle the toilet paper, you could both be like, fuck that.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
So, I like that conflict, right? So now, the families are gearing up for a war over the river, right? Mm-hmm. And... The boy bear and the girl bear are trying to stop it from happening. Like, maybe you do like the...
Well, the conflict would be, they can both kind of even believe, they could both have loyalty to their families, especially like Strong Bear could be like, look, I like your soft toilet paper. It made my butt feel great, but like my duty's to my family. Like, you
and
know,
my
we're...
duty is to this, and my duty.
All right,
10
all right.
Minutes,
but,
10 minutes.
To your point, a la Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
You could do that. They're like, oh no, our families are going to go to war. This is so bad. I don't want a war. And so they decide like maybe if we get married, it'll stop the war.
Oh.
Okay.
Strong, Romeo Crapulet is getting married to the beaver princess. Because that's sorry, but that's how they're going to win the river over.
Yes.
And then Juliet Montepu, their plan is to divert the river. They've been building an entire like ravine on their side, and the river is going to turn, and the beavers will have no choice but to live in their land, and then they'll have the beavers.
Yes.
whatever workforce.
Okay.
So that's where like the betrayal comes, and they're falling in love, and then it's like she realizes that he's being married to the beaver princess, and their family's plan of diverting the river is never going to work in the first place or whatever. But that could be the thing. It's like he doesn't want to tell her because he's falling. Well, this would be a romance thing, but
that's fine. I don't care about that. Let's just fucking end this thing. Okay. All right. So I like that. I like it being he's going to get married to the beaver princess, right? And like the, like, you know, they, this is
going to cement a home.
Yeah. They're like, okay, that's pulp. That's very funny. And then for her, yes, she's on this dangerous saboteur mission to, you know, divert the river.
Yeah.
Right. And it's whoever can pull this off first, essentially. Yes. I like that.
They're falling in love, and you could do the day.
How are they interacting with each other? Like, do they decide?
Like, Romeo and Juliet, when they talk to the wall, it'd be like they meet on the river.
To trade toilet paper.
To trade toilet paper. That's the first, that's what they're doing at first. Like, I don't like you, but your toilet paper stops. Like, I don't like you, but, you know, sometimes my butt's itchy. And then they realize, like, they find themselves spending more and more time every day sitting there, and they're like, I'm really falling for some, you know, your toilet paper.
It's really
like, are we still talking about toilet paper? Are you talking about me? She's like, talking about you. And he's like, I'm talking about you. It's and the beaver's like, those two are fucking it's in the middle of the woods.
It is too erotic for a movie about toilet paper.
Okay, okay. All right. They're just, it's fine. They're just trading toilet paper.
Okay, anyway, so they're trading toilet paper. I'm just trying to, like, he's going to become best friends with the...
that's
with
fine. They're still getting married. It's just like, if you get married to her, you realize that you'll never be able to have soft toilet paper ever again. It's,
but I like it specifically being like, you are going to become best friends with the beaver princess.
You'll become playmates with the
and then
princess.
She's like, but I thought I was your best friend.
I thought I was your best friend.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. So he's got to go become best friends with the beaver princess. He doesn't like the beaver princess. And then he's swapping toilet paper with her. And meanwhile, she's, you know, out in the woods trying to reroute this river and however that's going to work. And they are trading toilet paper. What kicks up another notch? What are they trying
she
to do?
She finds out.
I feel like they want to, what is their goal in that third act? What are the two, and I don't mean the families,
yeah.
Go with the families, but what do the two of them want?
I think you would do that again. So they like each other and they're friends, and they both like the other toilet paper. But what's holding them back is their duty to their families and what they want in the first place. I would do that at the beginning of the movie. Romeo Crapulet is... You could do that. He is trying to get the beaver princess to be his best friend because that's his duty. Like, that's what that's their plan, and it's his job to do it. And she doesn't like him, so that's part of what he's trying to do. That's why he's at the river. He keeps coming every day and giving her flowers and bringing the new PlayStation to hang out and trying to become his friends, become best friends with
Sega
her.
Genesis.
And you would do Juliette Montepu, maybe. You could do maybe she's, like, the least respected of the family, and she's the one who's come up with this radical plan that everybody thinks is crazy, but she's trying to pull it off. So they both have a thing that they're trying
she's
to
trying
do.
She's trying to prove herself to her family.
Yes. And then their friendship is almost the obstacle to those two plans.
Yes.
So the third act is they're wavering on whether or not they're going to do those plans because they're growing to like each other. And then something happens that make them both double down. Like, she finds out that he's doing this beaver thing, so she gets mad about it. And then maybe her brothers or whatever, her other siblings have some plan that's about to go through, and she's like, and maybe she changes her plans. Like, their plan is to sabotage his play date with the princess beaver.
Yes, or it's like they're going to use...
And that's their knife fight.
They're going to use
and he
his...
he kills. He, like, fucking murks her cousin.
Yeah, or they're going to use his play date with the princess beaver to, like, do that. That's going to be the day they go in to do
their play. Oh, the play date. She diverts. This is good. They do divert the river, but they divert the river to flood the play date. And then what is coming down the flood? Soft toilet paper that he gave her. So it's like framed. She's like, oh, what ruined my play date? Why? What flooded our river? This was horrible. And she's like, oh, you were trying to divert. The whole time she's actually been
diverting.
Soft
toilet paper. She clogged the pipes.
Yes. She diverts the river into the other family's territory to make it look like they were the ones doing the sabotage. And she uses the toilet paper that he's been giving her to plant it. So she's like, you were just pretending to be my friend while your family was diverting the river into your own land. You traitor.
Wait, what?
I'm on Matt's.
Yeah, Juliet. Okay,
Juliet's a false flag.
Juliet false flagged it. She's so upset that he's the whole time he's been pretending to be. The day he says you're my best friend, she finds out he's doing a play date.
Yeah, with
that. Yeah, it's gonna make them officially best friends when this play date commences or whatever.
Okay. All right.
So then she spends all night, and what she does is she changes her plan and she diverts. She floods the beaver's river into the other territory, so that then the beaver thinks that while you.
Oh,
it's a false. Yes, the beaver.
So
like,
the beaver thinks that
Romeo's
his
behind
family.
It.
Yeah.
Yes.
is behind
it. Was just pretending to be the best friend while actually forcing their river into their territory. Because again, the Beavers River is literally on the border. So they're neutral party.
And, like, and then
so he's like, that's it. We're not best friends. And all of our papers going to the Montepoos. And they're like, oh no, what happened? And then, yes, then the families are going to war now because it's gone over the edge. The neutral thing at least kept them against each other.
Or do you do, like, hear me out, she floods the river, right? And then it's like, oh, but, like, you know, she just wanted to divert the river. Maybe there's an unintended consequence that's worse than she thought. It's like, oh, now this whole family is going to drown, and then she's got to save them or whatever. Like,
that's
something
good.
Like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she may not be as vicious as that. She was, like, upset, and, like, maybe her parents found out, because the classic thing is, like, the parents found out what she was doing, and then
they try and sequester them away, right?
Yeah, or, again, they do it, and it's worse or whatever.
I don't know. Okay, so
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Well, okay, because then what you do is the two families are going to war now, and both of our main characters are butthurt about each other. They're both sad because one thinks that the other one flooded the party, and the other one thinks that they were lying about being best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both mad at each other, and the two families are going to war now because the river's on one side. It's too late. Somebody's going to take 100% of the paper.
So there can be no survivors. It's whoever survives owns the river.
So the two bear families are marching to fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then Romeo Crapulet and Juliet Mondepoo are, again, like, you need that the third character that says Juliet wants to talk to you or whatever. What's her name?
Mr. Whipple.
It's Mr. Whipple.
Dirty old man, Mr. Whipple.
Mr. Whipple, the man who back in the day helped. Like, again, it was his toilet paper. He was almost killed at a campsite, and it was his toilet paper that gave the bears
inspiration.
The idea, so whatever. I don't know if you want to do that. But, yes, Mr. Whipple's like...
the old magic man who lives on the island.
Or you just do the beaver princess, realizes that, oh, she sees
the
a
beaver,
note.
The beaver princess, because the beavers are truly the kind of heart.
Yes,
right?
And she sees, like, a note they shared.
Written
and realizes,
on toilet paper.
Yes, written on toilet paper, but she realizes they're best friends. She's like, oh, no. This war is going to ruin this beautiful friendship. Yes, the misunderstanding. So she sneaks in and tells Romeo Poopulet, Crapulet, you got to go talk to Juliet before the war begins. She wants to speak. She's like, she never wants to speak to me. He's like, just trust me. And Juliet gets the information. But again, then if you want to do the Romeo and Juliet thing, the beaver gives a note to one of Juliet's brothers or sisters, and then he reads it before he gives it to her and changes what it says and says, you know, Romeo wants to meet you so he can punch you or fight you or something. And she's like, I hate that guy.
I'll fight him.
I'll fight him. I'm going to drink poison.
I hate him so much, I'm going to drink poison. You could do a reverse Romeo and Juliet, and you do that because they won't speak to each other, right? Because you do that, the beaver princess realizes that these two best friends are going to, you know, hate each other. So you would do, she tells each of them that the other one has been hurt.
Yes.
And then, or like, is dying or whatever. And then the two run to go see each other.
Yes.
And they realize, like, you know, family and stuff.
Yes.
And then they come up with the idea for dual-sided toilet paper.
Yes. I was about to say, it ends with dual-sided toilet paper. And you might do a thing where, like, the
suicide pact. We don't want to do a suicide pact.
Not a suicide pact.
Okay.
It's so not a suicide pact in the thing.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a misunderstanding of anesthesiology.
Here's what they would do. Right before the war's about to begin, Romeo and Juliet... it ends with the two heads of the family of both families get the notes from their kids that are written on the other toilet paper. And they both, the king and the queen of both sides, are looking at these notes about the wonderful friendship
or something.
And they're like, my God, like, look at these wonderful words. They're such good friends. And they're like, you're right. And they put the pieces together, the two notes together. And they're like, wait a second. This toilet paper feels amazing. It's soft on one side and strong on the other. We can be better together. And they look at the kids like, you taught us a great lesson, Romeo and Juliet. And they're like, Beavers, you think you can do this? And like, damn right we can. Soft and
damn right we can.
Damn right we can. Soft and a strong toilet paper for everybody, and they all cheer. And then
there's a beaver, like R&D beaver, been like, it's like, I've been saying this for years. Nobody has listened to me.
No, it's the skunk that works in their skunk works division.
And then they're all celebrating. There's a big campfire, and all the bears and beavers are celebrating.
Like,
and then Mr. Charmin, and then Mr. Whipple comes around the corner and looks straight at camera and goes, "Don't squeeze the Charmin," and the curtain calls.
Beautiful.
He says, we the players have presented you this tale of poo and brotherly love.
So, man, I blacked out for the last hour. What happened?
All right, let me see if I can...
And to all, well, what's... Merry Christmas to all, and to all, a good wipe.
So, okay, so let me see if I can just run through it really quick, just to get like the 10,000 feet. Okay, so act one, you've got the Stone Age 2001 A Space Odyssey scene where they learn to wipe their butts with rocks and leaves, and then they have a feud and, you know, just go to either side of the forest.
Yeah.
Now we cut forward a couple generations. The beavers are holding out on us. Why don't we have enough, you know, paper for our toilet paper? He's on his mission to go to his play date with the beaver princess. He gets lost. He meets the girl. They trade toilet paper. Whoa, your toilet paper is really good. So is yours. They go home that night, each with a bundle of toilet paper gifted to them by the other one. Their parents discovered, what's all this? My God, the bears on the other side have developed toilet paper technology. The beavers have been playing both sides against the middle, right?
Yes.
You need to become best friends with the beaver princess.
Yes.
You know, that will be the only way to secure our birthright.
Yes.
And then you need to help me reroute the river, right?
We're going to force the beavers to live in our territory, and they'll have to work for us.
Yes. And then they're both doing that, and they keep bumping into each other in the woods and trading toilet paper.
Yeah. And they're becoming best friends.
Oh yes, you do that. Here's what you do. You do that. They start a pen pal relationship. That's the only way they can get toilet paper to each other.
Yes.
Is by like pretending to write a note and then sending it. Do you know what I mean? He's like, I'm writing a note to the beaver princess. And she's like, I'm sending, you know, plans to our spies, right? Yes, and they're meanwhile trading toilet paper and getting to know each other.
And they're sitting there being like, I need to commit this to memory because in a moment I'm going to use it and it's going to be covered in poop. This beautiful note from my lover.
Or they just take that part off and wipe their butt.
In 5 seconds, this message will de-poop.
Okay, so meanwhile, they don't realize what the other one is doing, that she's plotting to route the river, and he has to become fake best friend with the beaver princess because of his shitty parents.
Yes.
So then you do the midpoint is that the discoveries are revealed. You know, the note that he wanted to send to her goes to his dad instead, and the note to the beaver princess about how she's his best friend winds up with her.
Yes.
Or it's, you know, her older brother manipulates the note now, so she gets mad. They're like, oh, we're going to reroute the river.
So there's a big disaster at the party where they're supposed to be best friends. Both sides of the family now realize the other side was betraying them, and both of our main characters are mad at the other, and the two families are going to war
and
then Princess Beaver is like, know what, she reads a beautiful note about how they're actually best friends, and she's like, this war needs to stop. Mm-hmm. And she gets them to meet each other in the forest, and then the two of them
they
hug, and they're like, you're my best friend and I love your soft toilet
but
paper,
but our families are going to war. What are we gonna do? And then they're like, they look at the two pieces, and then Mr. Whipple shows up. He's like, I have an idea. And then so then they save their families.
Oh my God, Mr. Whipple's like, squeeze them together.
Oh, yeah. Squeeze the Charmin.
Subversion.
It's a subversion of his classic line.
Yeah.
And then they go and they trick the family into, you know, whatever. They do something where one of them poops so hard that they need a soft toilet paper or whatever it is. And then the family.
I like that they have to hatch a plan to make everyone want to poop.
Yes.
Right? Because the only way will be if they all have to poop at the same time.
Yes.
They don't have anything to wipe their butts with, and then they can be like, we can help.
Yes. And then
with this new roll of toilet paper for everyone.
Yes. And then the two families are happy and they have a big bear party. And now the
movie's over.
Yeah, the movie's
the movie is done.
And then the Roman and Juliet played Nintendo DS or something because they're best friends.
Well, it's kind of a movie.
Yeah. All right, Charmin, hit us up if you want us to make that. We could talk to DreamWorks or Sony's animation studios. Probably not really a Pixar.
Not
Disney
really a Pixar movie.
Brand thing, but you know, whatever. You guys decide. We'll do what you want.
A glooming poo this morning with it brings.
And then next,
the sun for sorrow will not show his head. Go hence to have more talk of these sad things. Some shall be pardoned, and some punished, for there never was a story of more woe. I'm trying to find a good rhyme here, a poop rhyme.
I thought you were going to stick landing, but
I couldn't.
More. Well, when we come back, the Shakespearean
landed
monologue version of this of this all play.
No, I have a better version. I have a better thing to come back with.
We are the host of My Brother and Me, and now, nearly 10 years into our podcast, the secret can be revealed. All the clues are in place, and the world's greatest treasure hunt can now begin.
Embedded in each episode of My Brother and Me is a micro clue that will lead you to 14 precious gemstones all around this big, beautiful blue world of ours.
So start combing through the episodes. Let's say starting at episode 101 on.
Yeah, the early episodes are pretty problematic, so there's no clues in those episodes.
No, not at all.
The better ones, the good ones, clues ahoy.
Listen to every episode repeatedly in sequence. Laugh if you must, but mainly get all the great clues. My Brother and Me, it's an advice show, kind of, but a treasure hunt mainly. Anywhere you find podcasts or treasure maps, My Brother and Me, the hunt is on.
In Shaman Forest long ago, did two bear families plant their roots? Strong rock-wiping Montapoos and their foes, fair crapulets whose leaves did clean their poops.
God.
Since days of yore did these families feud, until two star-crossed wipers broke the trend. With curious butts they yearned to change the mood, and through desire for new paper became best friends. These cubs' journey and their parents' rage, and the forest they changed along the way, are now the 2 hours traffic of our stage. And so I, Mr. Whipple, bid you sit and enjoy our play.
God, it's Mr. Whipple this whole time?
That's very
oh
good.
Oh my God.
I think the bard is turning over in his grave so he can wipe his butt. Because he's so happy. He shat himself with
Thanks,
delirium.
Thanks, Shakespeare, for writing such good plays for us to make fun of.
That's this is what they good. Should teach in high school.
Yeah.
I got to shout out the one line I actually stole from his intro, which is now the 2 hours traffic of our stage, which I think is like such a great way to diss your own play. Like, it's just the traffic on up here. It's the people bustling about.
The Shakespeare guy is pretty good.
He's all right.
Not as good, though, as the new Will.
I think if he...
As the new Will. As in Will, too.
Can you register under the WGA as Shakespeare 2?
By Shakespeare 2.
Could you imagine?
That'd be a good legal name to change to.
My new nom de plume.
Yeah, it's under IMDb under Shakespeare 2. What has he written?
He wrote his own version of What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
What fan art we got this week, Will?
We got a couple of very special pieces of fan art. First of all, I wanted to give a quick thanks to Brandon Everfolly from the Facebook group for actually suggesting, I totally forgot that someone actually suggested Gilbert Grape in the like reinterpret the title thread. Yeah. That was the idea for the movie. So thank you, Brandon. We got a really great piece of trippy, free jazz, conceptual Gilbert Grape fan art. This one was from Mara Mathis. They did a really cool, like, shroomed out, like it's like a mouth eating a grape that's also an eyeball. It really freaked me
this
out.
This is freaky.
So great job to, and thanks so much to Mara for that.
Thanks for that freaky art.
Thanks for that freaky art.
The freaky art.
We also got... I was just in awe of this. Will E.
Yeah.
Shakespeare 3 on Twitter, Wilhelm _ E, tweeted at us the official Bond intro for the Blunt Ripper movie. This is the Blunt Ripper title sequence.
I'll tell you, I knew something was brewing because he tweeted me out of the blue, just like, hey, just for a thing I'm working on, you did the Blunt Ripper song, right? I was like, yeah. And I was like, what is he doing? I did not expect the entire animated Blunt Ripper intro.
I got to say, Lit Harrington and Ian Flamen's James Bond 420 was very good.
I mean, it does make it feel like... I mean, he did, like, the hard part. It feels like we're kind of...
It's on us now,
though. It feels like we kind of have to make the movie now.
It is,
like,
honestly...
They made the title sequence already.
I also lost it. It's like co-starring. It says Emily Blunt. And I'm like, God damn it!
How do we miss Emily Blunt?
And Ava Green!
Yeah.
How do we miss both of those?
I like that it's, like, the mysterious, like, abstract in the background is bong water. It's really, really fucking good, guys. And then it's the joint producers. Anyway, really, really good stuff. Thank you, guys. Thank you to the whole Storybreak clan, the whole network, the whole squad for supporting the show.
Thank you also to Maximum Fun for supporting the show. I was at a Max Fun Con this past weekend. Just a great group of people, all these Max Fun folks, I gotta say. Had a lot of fun up in Lake Arrowhead. Thanks, MaximumFun.org, for supporting us in this free jazz season of Story Break. We need to come up with a subtitle, like Story Break Nights.
Story Break Nights, Season 2, Story Break Nights.
we'll come up with something.
Are you gonna make us do the recommendation thing? Is that the...
Oh, no, we are about to do the recommendation
thing. I'm Matt Arnold, okay. And my recommendation is Lou Eddie's. It's a pizza place in Lake Arrowhead where I told Freddie to go, and they got good pizza there. So
it's really fucking good pizza.
So if you're in Lake Arrowhead or anywhere in the United States, just find a way to get to Lou Eddie's. Hey, Lou Eddie's, hit us up with some free pizza.
My name is Freddie Wong. My recommendation is a game called Outer Wilds, which is out on the Epic Store. If you like Myst and space exploration, it's like Myst meets No Man's Sky. Really good.
My name is Will Campos, and I'm recommending the works of William Shakespeare. I don't know if you guys have cracked open a book of the Bard's plays recently, but I definitely have.
And so much better when they're spoken out loud, don't
yes,
you think?
I'm recommending my audiobook of me reading all of Shakespeare in that annoying voice that I
with
just did.
With those hard R rolls.
The R rolls that I kind of fucked up. I realized I'm doing Derek Jacobi's shitty Shakespearean performer from his Frasier episode, where he plays a really bad Shakespearean actor.
Another Frasier Easter egg for all you Frasier fans.
All right, that's it.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Well, Alexis, we got big news.
Uh-oh.
Season one, done.
It's over.
Season two, coming at you hot.
3 years after
season one. Technically almost 4 years.
All right.
And now, listen, here at Can I Pet Your Dog, the Smash It podcast, our seasons run for 3.5 years. And then in season two, we come at you with new hot co-hosts named you.
Hi, I'm Alexis.
And we also have
field trip.
Dog tech.
Yeah.
Dog news. Celebrity guests.
Oh, big shots.
We'll not let them talk about their resume.
Nope. Only the dogs.
Only the dogs. I mean, if ever you were going to get into Can I Pet Your Dog,
now's the time.
Get in here
every Tuesday
at MaximumFun.org.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.